We begin the Gemara in Daf Masechta Rosh Hashana Daf Chav Tes. We begin on the bottom line of the Chav Ches Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf. And that is, although the Gemara concluded in the name of Rava that mitzvahs ein tzriches kavon, a person does not have to have intention when he's coming to fulfill a mitzvah that he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, as long as he's intending to do that action that has already fulfilled the chiv of the mitzvah. However, Amalei Reb Zeira L'Shamar, Reb Zeira had told his attendant, and we continue on top of Chav Tes and Alev, Ichaven, I want you to stay focused, to intend, Uskali, and to blow for me. And that is, I want you to have in mind, when you're blowing the shofar, for me, so that I can fulfill my chiyuv of tkiyah shofar that I have to do on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Al Maksavar, obviously Reb Zeira holds, Mashmiya Baya Kavana, the one who is blowing, has to have intention to fulfill the chiyuv of the Shemiya, to have in mind, the one who's listening, that he could be fulfilling his chiyuv with his blowing. Now, so on that, the Gemara asks Meisvei, we learned in our Mishnah that we said, if someone's walking behind the shul, or his house was near a shul, and he heard, he overheard, they were blowing the shofar, he heard they were laying the Megillah. So in that, our Mishnah says that, if the person who's listening had in mind, so, oh, let me fulfill my chiyuv now, then he has fulfilled, but if not, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, on that, the question is, according to what Reb Zeira just said, what does it help that you're trying to listen, whether it be that to if you say mitzvah tzriches kavanah, to have in mind to fulfill your chiyuv, or, as Rava had said, that it's just that you should hear the whole sound, not that it should be like a donkey making noise, but you're actually noticing and observing the sounds of the shofar. That's what kivan liba means. But according to Reb Zeira, what does that help? Heyech, the one who's blowing, the one who's reading the Megillah, loike mechavana died to the day. He didn't have this person in mind. According to Reb Zeira, that he asked his shamash, he said, have me in mind, that he has to specifically have in mind the one who's listening to fulfill his chiyah for him. But here, if he's just walking by or lives nearby, how does it help if you're focusing if that person didn't have you in mind? I think Gemara says it's not a question. Because here we're talking about you're passing by a shul where the person that's blowing or that's reading the Megillah is a shliach of the tzibur. He's a messenger, he's an emissary of the public. The daitya kuli alma. A shliach tzibur has in mind everybody, doesn't have in mind specific people, anyone who needs to be yais to their chiyuv. And therefore that would include even someone just walking by the shul or who lives in a house nearby. Gemara continues to ask in Reb Zeira. Tashma v'lenna b'raisa. Let's say the one who's listening had in mind, he was focused, but the one who was doing the mitzvah, either laying the Megillah or blowing the shofar, he didn't have in mind. Or let's say the one who's blowing or he's reading the Megillah, he was focused, he had in mind to do this, but the one who was listening didn't have in mind. Lo yatza, so there, both cases, one will not fulfill his chiyuv. Ad, you have to have both. That both the one who's listening and the one who's causing the listening, that both of them are intended and focused on this action. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but Kutani Mashmiya Dumyud de Shemea, it seems like there's a comparison, a parallel between the one who's listening and the one who's causing the listening, which is Mashmiya Shmilatmi, just like the one who's listening. He's listening for himself, meaning it's just related to himself. Af meshmiya meshmilatzmai. So it sounds like that, though, too, the one who's causing listening is doing it for himself. He's blowing for himself, or he's reading the Megillah for himself. And still, v'katoni lo yatza, and still we see that he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, the Merav Ranchberg explains what the Gemara's question is. He says that it sounds like that the one who's listening will not fulfill his chiyuv if the mashmiya, the one who's reading the Megillah, blowing the shofar, will not have in mind even for himself to be Yaitza. But what it sounds like is, since we're making this parallel between the Shemeah and the Mashmiah, but if he had in mind to fulfill the Chiyah for himself, meaning he's blowing for his own mitzvah, or he's reading for himself, then the Shemeah will be Yaitze, even if the Mashmiah did not have in mind to fulfill the Chiyah of the Shemeah. And that's the question the Gemara is asking in Reb Zeira, because it sounds like that, just like Shemeah, if he's Mechaven, which means just for himself, and the Mashmiah sounds like the same parallel that he's having in mind when he's doing this action which is causing this noise, whether it's reading the Megillah or blowing the shofar, also for himself, that then if you have both those criteria, then the Shemeah will be Yaitzeh, even though the Mashmiah is not having in mind for the Shemeah, which is not like Reb Zeira, who he told the Shamash to have in my mind. So I think Gemara says, you're right, it is a question on Reb Zeira, but Tanoi, it's a Machlokes Tanoim, and Reb Zeira is going like a different Tana, the Tana going in the Braisa. Shemeah, Shemeah la'atzmai. You're right, all you need is the one who's listening to listen for himself. So too, the one who's causing the noise, who's doing the mitzvah of the shofar or the Megillah, also could do it just according to his way, meaning for himself. And then the shemeah could be yaitzeh, because you do not have to have that the mashmiah should have the shemeah in mind. On that, on Rabbi Yisi, he argues, and that's what Rabbi Zeir is going like. He says, no, that's only by medva amurim that the mashmir could just do it and whoever's listening could be yaitse. It's b'shlich tzibur, as we said, he has everyone in mind. That's why he doesn't have to have specifically that person in mind. But an individual who's just blowing in his house and someone's walking by, then the one who's listening will not fulfill his chiyuv until you have both the mashmia and the shemia, which again is like Reb Zeir, that means to say that not only that the shemia is having in mind, but that the mashmia has the shemia in mind, and therefore that's who Reb Zeir is going like when he told his shamish, have me in mind when you're blowing the shofar that I can fulfill my chiyuv on my mitzvah of tekiyas shofar. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on the theme that ended off the previous Mishnah regarding Kivan Libay, regarding a person having focus and attention regarding his matters of Torah and mitzvahs. There's a pasuk in Shemayis that says, regarding the Muhammad that the Jewish people had with Amalek, it says, it was when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, Begava Yisrael, and the Jewish people, they conquered, Begaim, etc., where the pasuk there ends, but when he put his hands down, then Amalek was stronger, and they took over that part of the war. Now, the question the Mishnah asks is, what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, you think it makes the war, it breaks the war? How could that make or break it with him just lifting his hands? Rather, what the Pasuk is teaching is called Zman Sheyisrael Mistakel Kapay Maila. When the Jewish people looked up heavenward, and they then inserved their hearts, they dedicated their hearts to their Father in heaven, that's what it means when Moshe Rabbeinu picked up his hands and they looked up, then they were the ones that were the mightier ones. But if not, which is then that's symbolic, and Moshe Rabbeinu putting his hands down, then they would fall to Amalek. Kids with about a similar thing you say in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, where it says, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, make for yourself a fiery serpent, and put it on the pole, and whoever is that's bitten, and then they'll see, because there was a plague and many were dying, and then, but if they look up at the snake, then they'll live. Now the question is, what is it, a snake caused those to live or to die? Again, this was put on top of a stick. So whenever people would look up at the snake, which is really heavenward, and then they dedicated their hearts to their Father in heaven, then they were healed. But if not, which is symbolic and not looking up, then they would just wither away. Now the Mishnah concludes with the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding someone being mighty others. So the Mishnah tells us that cheresh, someone that's a deaf mute, shaita, or someone that's insane, the cotton and a minor, they cannot fulfill the obligation of others through the mitzvah that they're doing. They cannot be mighty them. Zehaklam, the general rule related to this is that kol she'in mechuyibadav, whoever is not obligated in a certain mitzvah, cannot then fulfill the obligations of others, and therefore they cannot do a public mitzvah that others will then fulfill it through their recital or through their tekiah or whatever it is, because chereshed v'katan are not mechuyib mitzvahs themselves. So now the Gemara continues with a braisa that continues on this theme about those that are obligated in the mitzvah and also related to being mighty others then. Tarbon Linda braisa. Hakol chayav mitkiyah shofar. Everyone is obligated in the mitzvah of the blowing of the shofar. Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, which are the three different sectors of the Jewish people. Gerim, converts, Vavad Meshacharim, and freed slaves, where because if they would be regular slaves, when they're still enslaved, then they wouldn't be obligated in the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, because any mitzvah that a woman's not obligated in, which is any mitzvah seseishas ma'agurama, which that applies the hasem halacha to a slave, and tekiyah shofar is a mitzvah seseishas ma'agurama, and therefore women and so too regular slaves are exempt from. But avad meshacharim, when they were freed, then they're obligated. V'tumtum v'andreganus, and tumtum is someone that it's covered over, it's not clear if they're male or female. And a dragonus is someone that has both signs of male and females, where both of these, that we're not sure if they're male or not. Therefore, they're also going to be obligated in the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, because possibly they are male and therefore obligated. And so to someone that's half slave and half free, because let's say there were two owners and one of them freed him and the other one still owns him, so he's half free, half slave, so he's also obligated because of the part of him that's free, which is like a regular Jew, is obligated in him, so therefore that part has to hear the tekiyah shofar. However, although all these individuals are obligated in mitzvah tekiyah shofar, they're not all the same regarding being mitzi others. That is because tumtum eina mitzi, someone again that we said that it's not clear if they're male or female because it's covered over, they cannot fulfill the obligation, meaning to blow the shofar and have others hear the mitzvah, lo yasminai, not someone that's just like him, in other words, another tumtum, because actually, since it's covered over, he could be male or female. So maybe the one who's blowing is actually a female, and the one who's listening, although he's also in the category of tumtum, actually maybe he's a male. So a female who's not obligated cannot be mitzi a male. And malay shayinim, that for sure not a non-tumtum, where again, that's a regular full-fledged obligated person, where the tumtum, who maybe is not obligated, cannot be mitzi others, but of course they have to hear it themselves because maybe they are obligated. Androgynous, again, androgynous is someone that has both male and female signs. Maitzias mina, they could fulfill another androgynous's chiv just like him, because if you say that an androgynous who, again, has male and female signs is male, so then they're both obligated. If you say that androgynous is someone that's a female, so then they're both exempt. It's not like a tumtum where it's not clear, is this person male or female? Here they have both male and female signs. It's just a question, do we define them as male or female? And therefore, either way, they're going to have the same criteria. However, androgynous, again, cannot fulfill the obligation of someone else. Let's say a regular man, again, because it's not clear if androgynous has halacha as a zachar or a nekeva. And if it's a nekeva, then it cannot fulfill the chiyav of a regular person. Regarding someone that's half slave, half freedman, he cannot absolve the chiyav of others. Not if it's another chetzi eved chetzi becharin, and neither for sure not a regular person. And the reason is because even though part of him is free, but part of him is a slave, and therefore the part of him that's a slave, which is not mechuyev, and it's the whole person that's blowing it. So therefore, part of the mitzvah being done by the slave cannot then go ahead and then obligate and fulfill the chiyav of the other chetzi eved chetzi becharin, who also has a part free person who's listening, who is obligated, cannot be obligated by someone that's not mechuyev bedava, which is the other half of him, which is a slave. And therefore, he can't be made to anyone else. Now, the Gemara explains the Brisa part by part. Amamar, the town of the Brisa had said, Hakol chayav mitkiyah shofar. Everyone's obligated in the blowing of the shofar. What does it mean, everyone? It means kahanim, levim, yisraelim, which are the three different sectors of the Jewish people. Now, the Gemara is pshita, it's pretty obvious. Ihani lemechayvi, ma mechayvi. What do you mean? If kahan, levim, yisraelim are not obligated, then who is obligated? These are all the Jewish people. And that the Gemara answers, you're right, we knew about, let's say, Yisraelim, but Kahanim Etzuchalei, we needed specifically to tell you the Chiddush that even Kahanim are obligated. Now, because the reason is Solgit Etzuchalei, I would have thought to say, since it says in the Pasuk Memidbar, it says, Yim Teru Yilachem. We're on Rosh Hashanah, it says that a day of blowing the Shofar should be for you. Now, what that sounds like is that Man Delesa El B'Tiki Dechad Yoyim Ahud Mechayev. It sounds like a Yoyim Trua, one day a year, whoever it is that only has one day a year that they blow the Shofar, they're obligated in the midst of Tekiyah Shofar. But Vahani Kehanim, however, regarding the Kehanim, Hoyil V'Ishnu B'Tekiyah Zechal HaShana, since they blow the whole entire year, the Chesuv, like it says in the Pasuk, Midbar Iskatim B'Chad Tzoytzis Alo Yoseichem, they would blow with the trumpets on their Karbanas Oyla the whole year. Eimaloy L'Chayev, I would say that they're not obligated in the midst of Tekiyah Shofar. Because it's not just Yom Tru, it's not just one day a year, it's the whole year. Kamashim has a chiddush that no kahanim are also obligated in it. Now, that the Gemara asks, me dummy, is it comparable? Meaning, why would we have thought that kahanim are exempt? Hasim chatzaitzis, they're regarding that they blow the whole year by the karbanas, that's trumpets. V'hacha shofar, and here it's a shofar, the horn of an animal, totally different things. Why would I think that that's not Yom Tru for the kahanim too? So then the Gemara says, you're right. Ela itzach, rather, the reason why we needed to tell you that kahanim are also obligated is for a different reason that we would have thought they're exempt. Because since we would have thought that we learned in the Mishnah previously that said, there's a comparison, there's an equation between the Tekiyas of Yevil, which comes every 50 years on Yom Kippur, to the Tekiyas every year of Rosh Hashanah, which is, what are the comparisons between them? For the Tekiyas that they do, and for the Brachas. Now, on that we would have thought as follows. Man de Isa b'mitzas Yevil, whoever it is that the halachas of Yevil apply to him, then Isa b'mitzas Rosh Hashanah, then that person has the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah, which are the Tekiyas. Now, but v'hani kehanim, regarding the kehanim, hoil b'lesno b'mitzas Yevil, since they're not applicable, all the halachas of Yevil to the kehanim, and that's regarding, let's say, someone that sanctifies his steachuz, which is an inherited field, and he doesn't redeem it. Then the gizber, the tendon of the hekdesh, he goes ahead and he sells it. With halacha is that Yevil would not come to exclude from the one who had been makdash it if it was a Levi, the way it is mafkia from the Yad Yisrael when it comes to Yevil, that as it gets removed, the halacha is that by kehanim it doesn't apply. It's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechet Erechin that says kehanim levim meichern la'olam. Kehanim levim, they could sell always. The goyim, they could always redeem, and that is their halachas are different. For example, let's say by certain houses when they sell it, that it comes a time after a certain amount that then it's forever the one who purchased it. But by count, it's not true. They could always redeem it. And that is the halachas of Yevil are not the same for Kahanim as it is by other people. It doesn't totally remove it from their status. Therefore, we would think to say that since the halacha of Yevil doesn't apply to them, so Eime b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah lo ilachaybe, so maybe we would think to say that the mitzvah Rosh Hashanah also don't apply to them because there's this equation that Yevil to Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara later on, Daf Lama Dal, will explain. And here, since they're not applicable for the halachas of Yevil, therefore the same thing would apply to Rosh Hashanah not to have the mitzvah Tzkiyas. That's the chiddush that we're saying, that no, Yom Teruah Yilchem applies to everybody, even to Kahanim, even though for them the halachas of Yevil are different than all the B'nai Yisrael. Now, it said there in the Braisa, Misha chetzi eviv chetzi ben chayrin, regarding someone that's half slave, half free man, eini maitzi, he will not fulfill the obligation of loyas mina v'loyas eini mina, not for someone that's also like him, a chetzi eviv chetzi ben chayrin, and not for a regular person. Now, on that, Rav Huna, he qualifies, however, ula'atzme maitzi, but for himself, he will fulfill his chiv of tkiyah shayver. Now, but on that, the Gemara asks, I'm like Rav Nachman Rav Huna, why? Maishno lachem deloy, why is it that we said for someone just like him, also half free, half slave, that he can't deloy ositzad abdis and mapik tzad cheris, because part of him is a slave, which is not mechuyiv. So that cannot fulfill the obligation of the other evid, which is half of it is cheris, is half free, which is obligated. So someone that's not obligated cannot fulfill the chiv of someone that's obligated. But if that's the case, la'atzmi nami loyositzad abdis today, umapik tzad cheris today. What do I mean? The part of him that's a slave is blowing, then cannot fulfill the chiv of the obligation of the part of him that's free, who has that obligation, because it's all being done by the two halves. And the one half that is obligated to hear it cannot be fulfilling that through the half of him that's a slave that's blowing it. So then the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rav Nachman, rather what Rav Nachman says is, Af le'atzma enei maitzi, you're right. Even for himself, he cannot blow because he cannot have half of him that's not mechuyev to blow for the other half, and therefore he would have to hear from someone else. Tanah Halacha is similar in Lebraisa. Mishe chasi ever chasi b'charen, someone that's half slave, half free man, he cannot even absolve him his own chiyuv by blowing himself. Now, continue on this theme about being mitzi others of their chiyuv. Tani hava bered der b'zera. He said that kol habrach is kulon, all blessings, afa pishyatsi, even though someone has already fulfilled their chiyuv, mitzi, he can go ahead and fulfill someone else's chiyuv. And the reason is because kol yisrael reivim zera b'zera, regarding mitzis, that they're considered as a guarantor for everyone else. And therefore, if someone on some level has not fulfilled the chiyuv, I have also some level not fulfilled my chiyuv, and therefore I can go ahead and make the bracha for him, even though I've already fulfilled the mitzvah myself. Chutz, however, the exception is, mi birchas alechem and birchas ayam, from the bracha made on bread and wine, and essentially all brachas of fruit and reichani and smell, which is a halacha of birchas anenin, where they're not obligatory. Because birchas anenin is only something that there's a prohibition of having hanaf from this world without a bracha. Now, regarding this, there's no halacha of arvis, because there's no obligation for a person that has not fulfilled it that I can go ahead and have a part in that, because don't have hanaf and then don't make a bracha. It's just, if you want to, there's something in your way of this isra of having hanaf without bracha, so that's what the bracha comes to take care of. But it's no chiv. And therefore, she'im lo yatza maitzi, regarding birchas anenin, if you yourself have not fulfilled your chiv of making the bracha, which you're coming to make a bracha, then you could go ahead and be maitzi others. But if you already made a bracha on a piece of bread and someone else didn't, you can't go ahead and make a bracha for him, because there's no halacha of arvis regarding the bercha of berchas hanen. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara says, "Boy, Rabbi asked the following question." Continue on to Amud Beis. Berchas halechem shel matzah, regarding the bracha on bread that comes to the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night, where before you make the bracha of achilas matzah, you first make a bracha of hamaitzi. Similarly, uberchas hayayin shel kiddush hayom, regarding the bracha boi pragofen, that we make whenever we make kiddush, where we make the bracha boi pragofen before we make the bracha of letzim mekadosh haShabbos. Mahu, what's the halacha there? And that is, regarding the bracha of letzim achilas matzah or mekadosh Yisrael, there's no question that since they're obligatory, you have to make kiddush, you have to eat matzah, where then you could go ahead and fulfill the chiv of others, even though you already fulfilled it yourself. The question we're asking is regarding the bracha of hamitzi and the bracha of boi pragofen. There, that is only coming because the bracha that someone has to make on Boi Priyagafen or Hamaitzi is because you have to taste the thing that you're making Mekadosh Yisrael on or Alechilas Matzah. Now, you can't go ahead and have Hana, meaning to taste it, without making a bracha. Now, even if you yourself are not going to eat it, but someone else has to go ahead and taste it, and it needs a bracha. So therefore, a bracha Boi Priyagafen or Hamaitzi has to be made on it. Now, the question is, Mahu, what would be in this case? In other words, the question is as follows. Kivin nechayibu, who do we say that since it's obligatory, in other words, eating of the matzah is an obligation. So to making kiddush on Shabbos is an obligation. Now, you can't go ahead and eat the matzah, which is, you can't go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of matzah or kiddush without having an offerment, because you have to eat it. Now, pleasure can only be with a bracha. So it comes out that the mitzvah is interdependent on the bracha of this thing that you're having pleasure in it, and therefore mapik. Therefore, it is considered obligatory, and you could fulfill the chiv of someone else, even though you already fulfilled it yourself, like other brachas ha-mitzvahs. Oy dilmo, or maybe you say that bracha, regarding the bracha bari pragofen, or hamayti lechem in the arts that you make before you al-chilis matzah, where that's a berachas hanenin, lav chayvihi, essentially it's not obligatory, it's not coming for the mitzvah, it applies to anything that you're having pleasure from that you have to make a berachas hanenin. It just, you just happen to have to need to make a bracha on this, because as you're eating the matzah, you're also deriving pleasure. And that is when you're making a bracha of mekadesh shel, you have to drink from it, because it's not covered to make a bracha on it and not drink from it, so you have to. But the essence of the bracha is a berachas hanenin, that's not obligatory. And therefore, what's the halacha? Is it something that will be included that you could be made to others even though you already fulfilled it, or not? So I think Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, the Amar Rav Ashi, the Rav Ashi said, Ki avinu b'Rav Papi, when we were by the house of Rav Papi, have a mekadesh lon, he made kiddush for us. Now, when his sharecropper came from outside, Hav Mekadosh Lo, he made Kiddush for him also. So we see that even though part of Kiddush is making the Bracha Bar Pragofen, which is the Birchas Hanenin, but since the Bracha HaMitzvah of Mekadosh Yisrael is interdependent on the Halacha of the Bar Pragofen, that itself it makes it considered obligatory, and therefore, even though you filled it already, you could make another Bracha for others. Trabon, the Gemara brings a brayso, again related to these halachas, that lo yifris adam prusa la'archem. A person cannot go ahead and spread out what basically it means to say that to make a bracha of hamaitzi, as we said before, where since it's not obligatory for you, for anybody, because don't eat and don't make a bracha, so a person cannot make a bracha of hamaitzi for his guests, elim kenoichel mam, unless he's eating with them. If he's not eating with them, so there's no halacha of arvis on that, on birchas hanenin, and therefore you can't make a bracha for them. However, a person is allowed to go ahead and make a bracha b'maitzi for his children and for his family, even though he's not coming to eat with them, because the halacha of indoctrinating them and getting them used to the halacha of mitzvahs, you can make a bracha for them even though you're not coming to, and that there's a different halacha regarding berachas hanenin, regarding the halacha of chinuch of children. However, again, regarding Hal Megillah, there, even though you have a fulfilled your chiv, you could fulfill him, again, because the halach is, it's like all other things that are obligatory, which Hal Megillah is, that even though it might be even rabbinic, it's not a deraisa, but still, anything that's a chiv, you can go ahead and be mitzi others, even though you yourself have already fulfilled that chiv. Hanulach Ru'u Bezin, we shall return to you, the third perek of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, perek Ru'u Bezin, and we begin the fourth perek, and the first Mishnah here continues on the theme of the previous parak regarding halachas of Shefer. So the Mishnah begins Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, regarding the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Shchalis B'Shabbos, that comes out on the same day as Shabbos. So the halacha is B'Mikdash Hayitek, and in the Beis HaMikdash they would blow, and the Gemara will explain this, Avalei B'Medina, but anywhere out of the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim or anywhere beyond that, they wouldn't blow the Shefer on Shabbos. However, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hishkin Yerichim Zakin instituted, Sheyu Taikin B'chal Mokim Sheyesh B'Besin, that although it is Shabbos, they should blow the Shefer anywhere that has a Besin, a rabbinical court. Amar Belazar, Belazar says, Loi Hishkin Yerichim Zakin, it's not true, he didn't make this institution, Ela B'Yavn B'Levad, only in Yavna. Now what that means is, it means to say the seat where the Sanhedrin HaGadayla was. That's where it was in the days of Reb Elazar. But it really means anywhere where the Sanhedrin went to exile. But however, regarding a Bezdin of, let's say, 23, that's not the Sanhedrin HaGedayla, 71, there the halach is, it's not true, they don't blow it. It's only where the Sanhedrin HaGedayla is in that one place. Amrulay, they said to Reb Elazar, what it means, not true, Echad Yavna ve'echad kal mokim shesh b'Bezdin. It's anywhere, whether it's Yavna or anywhere there is a Bezdin, you do blow the Shofar even on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah continues, V'oidzeis heis b'Yerushalayim. There was an additional thing that Yerushalayim had when it was still built, that was Yisera, that was greater than the blowing of Shabbos, Al Yavna, regarding that, although we said in Yavna that we also blow on Shabbos, now that the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yechim Zaka was Masakin, but Yerushalayim had something over that. And that is, Shekol Ir Shehiraya, any city that saw Yerushalayim, V'shamas, and was able to hear, U'kraven, was close enough, V'chay Lovay, and could come, taken they also would blow. Not only the Beis HaMikdash, where that's where they would blow, and when they had the Beis HaMikdash was around, that they would blow in the Beis HaMikdash, everywhere that was close enough to see and to hear and could come, they also would blow on Shabbos. However, regarding Yavne, although we said that after the Churban they would blow there too, but the Sanhedrin HaGadol was, however, that was only in Bezdin itself, but not even in the places which were in the environs that were close enough to see and to hear. Now the Gemara will ask, what's this that the Tana says, Ba'id? What was that they said before that Yerushalayim, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, was different than Yavne, to say that additionally, this is what Yerushalayim has over Yavne, that anywhere that was around that area was also able to blow, and not just the place of Yerushalayim, of the Beis HaMikdash, like it was by Yavne, that they would only blow in Yavne itself. Now the Gemara asks, Manan Emili, from where do we know this halacha of our Mishnah, which we opened up with, that we're not allowed to blow the Shofar on Shabbos, which, however, the exception was in the Beis HaMikdash. So Amr Levi Balachma, Amr Reb Chama Bar Chanina, because there's a contradiction. One pasuk says in Yikra, Shabbos in Zichron Trua, a day of rest, a remembrance of the blowing, which it sounds like that not an actual blowing, just actually that you say psukim of blowing, which is what a zichron is, what a remembrance is. It's not the action itself. Yet v'kasav echadim, but another pasuk in Midbar says yom true yilachem, a day of blowing should be for you. It sounds like that actual tekiyah should be done in Rosh Hashanah. So that the resolution is loy kasha. Kam yom tov shachalis b'shabbos. First pasuk is told when yom tov is on Shabbos, whether you don't blow, that's a zichron. However, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on the weekday, then you actually blow the shofar. So it's actually from Sukkim that we know this halacha that you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. On that, Rava asked two questions. First of all, if it's biblical that you're learning out from Sukkim, then how would we blow in the Beis HaMikdash? We're not over on Isuri Deraisa in the Beis HaMikdash. Moreover, how could this be forbidden to be done at Shabbos? It's not one of the Lamatas Malachas. The Itzach Kralamute that we should need a pasuk to exclude it. Because the Tanya of Shmuel, like we learned in the Braisa of Shmuel, that on that pasuk that we just quoted before, it says, "Kama lech savoydu lo yisasu." You know, I'll do any malacha of work on Yom Kippur. Now, Yatzisa, what that excludes is tekiyah shayfer, blowing the shayfer, for yadiyas apas, and taking bread out of the oven, sheikach mebein malacha, where they're both what's called wisdom. They require a certain professionalism, but they're not malacha. And therefore, it's not deraisa. And therefore, how can you say that's learned from these pasukim? So Rava says, "Midiraisa mishashar." You're right. Biblically, you're allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos. However, it's Rabbanu who degazer be. It's the Rabbanan that rabbinically said that we're not allowed to blow on Shabbos. Could the Rabbi, like Rabbi said, "Dam Rabbi." The Rabbi said, "Hakol chayav mitkiyah shofar." Everyone is obligated to kiyah shofar. However, ve'in hakol bekiyim mitkiyah shofar. Not everyone is as proficient to blow the shofar. Now, therefore, gizera shem yitlan b'yaday. There's a decree, rabbinical, that maybe someone's going to come to take it in his hand. Is going to go to someone that is proficient to learn how to blow. And by mistake, he's not going to notice that he's going to carry the shofar for Amos and Rosh Hashanah and be over on the Issa of Haitzah, which is the Raisa on Rosh Hashanah. And behind the time of the Lulav, and that's really the same reason why we don't take the Lulav on Shabbos. Behind the time of the Megillah, is also the same reason why we don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, because since everyone is Mechuyiv and not everyone knows how to, and they might come to carry it, therefore, rabbinically, we said we don't want you to fulfill this mitzvah if it might come to a violation of the Issa Deraisa of Itzah on Shabbos. But however, in regards to the Beis HaMikdash, there they were allowed to blow the Shofar on Shabbos, because there's no Isuri Shvus, Isuri Drabbanan, in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they were allowed to go ahead and blow it on Shabbos. Now, however, the Mishnah did tell us, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, however, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and now there was nowhere, essentially, that they're going to be blowing on Shabbos, because only the Beis HaMikdash was excluded from the Sur, the Rabbanan, Hishkin Rebbechim Azaka, B'chul Rebbechim Azaka, then instituted that they should blow it in, which is a Machlekes in the Mishnah, either only with a Sanhedrin HaGadolah, or wherever there's a Bezdin to blow it there too. So the Gemara explains this Machlekes with the following Braisa. Try and win the Braisa. Pamachas chal Rosh Hashanah liyis b'Shabbos. One time it happened to be the Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Now, b'hoyu kol ha'arim. Now, all the cities that were around Yavne, that's where the Sanhedrin HaGedolah were, they miskansen. They started gathering to Yavne to hear the blowing of the shluchi pesin because they were accustomed to that. We're in Yerushalayim, that on Shabbos was the only place you were able to go ahead and hear. They would all come to Yerushalayim to hear the tekiyas from the Beis HaMikdash. So now that the Sanhedrin wasn't there anymore, they were now in Yavne. So that's where they went to go ahead and hear the shofar. So Amlam Rabbi Yechim Ezakel Bnei Reseis, Rabbi Yechim Ezakel said to the sons of Beseir, who they were the Gedei Lahadar, Nitka, let's go ahead and blow. Where now there's no more Beis HaMikdash, there's no more blowing on Shabbos. Let's blow it here in where the Sanhedrin is. So Amr Lois, so the Bnei Beseir said, Nadin, we have to go ahead and judge this if we should make the gzera, which is the rabbinical decree, even in the place of Bezin, because it still has the gzera d'rabbanan of Shem Yitlano. We're not like the Beis HaMikdash where there's no Isuri d'rabbanan on Shabbos, and therefore maybe it should be forbidden rabbinically to blow here too because of the gzera Shem Yitlano. So Amalahem, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to them, Nitka v'achachachno, let's first blow, everyone's here, and then we'll judge to see if it's an appropriate thing to do, or maybe here also it should be rabbinically forbidden. Now, la'achashataka, after they blow, Amrulay Nodin, so they said to him, okay, let's go ahead and sit down and see if it's appropriate. So Amalahem, he said to them, no, k'va nishma kerem Yavna, the horn, in other words, a reference to the shayfa, was already heard in Yavna. Ve'imashim l'achamaisa, we can't go ahead and now start clearing afterwards, start deciding after it was done if it's appropriate, because it's going to be degrading to say like, oh, what do you mean, we made a mistake? What do you mean, why'd you blow? And now you're going to say it's not appropriate? It's already too late. And that's how I was able to have this instituted that from then on, it was going to be done inside where the Sanhedrin HaGadol were in Yavne, where although now there's no Beis HaMikdash, it was transplanted to where the Sanhedrin HaGadol was to blow the Shofar on Shabbos. Now, Mishnah says that Rabbi Elazar said, that lo hiskin yechem mezakei, not like the Tanna Kamma had said that wherever there's a bezin you blow it, ela b'yavne mevat, only in Yavne where there was the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Amar loy, so they said to him, echad yavne mechad kol mokum shesh bezin, not true. So whether Yavne or anywhere where there's a bezin, that's where you blow even on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asked, Amar loy hayne Tanna Kamma. The Amar loy they said to him is essentially the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that was mentioned before. Why would the Mishnah repeat it as if it's some other opinion? What would be the difference between that and the Tanna Kamma? Now the Gemara says, no, there's actually three opinions. There's the Tanna Kamma, who said that it's anywhere there's a bezin. Then Rabbi Elazar came along and said that it's only in Yavne, in other words, wherever the Sanhedrin Gedol is. Then there's the Amrulai, because Ikebenai, the difference between the Tanna Kamma and the Amrulai is Beidini Da'akroi, a temporary bezin. That is, according to Tanna Kamma, you would blow, because the Tanna Kamma said that it's wherever there's a bezin. But the third Tanna that said Amrulai that they said to him, they hold that when they said Echa Yavne ve'echad kol mokum shesh be'bezdin, it means to say just like Yavne where it was a permanent bezdin, so to anywhere where there's a permanent bezdin, in other words, of not only 71, but it has to be permanent, just like Yavne, which, however, according to the Tanna Kamma, he didn't say that. He says, wherever there's a bezdin, and even if it's not a permanent bezdin, even if they just set it up just to do this on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, it's okay, and you can fulfill your chiyuv of Tekiyah Shofar, even though it's Shabbos, that it's Rosh Hashanah, you can go ahead and blow over there again because Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Masakin anywhere where there's a Bezdin.